it's good to see you again this morning. I know you're getting tired of me. I'm getting tired of me. But that's all right. We love being here from time to time. And hopefully what we have in mind today will help us to a better understanding of God's Word. Now, let me ask you, would you get your Bible ready? Everybody got a Bible? All right. Get your Bible open. We're going to do some reading. And it's not just me that needs to do the reading or just spout off because I've got it memorized or something. I want us to look at the Scriptures. And we're going to be looking, probably most of us from here, we're going to look at the King James Version. If you have something else, it might be the New King James Version, and that's pretty close too. So that's no problem. But we're going to be looking in the book of James. Everybody got that? And we're going to be looking in chapter 4. Chapter 4 of the book of James. That's easy to find, I think. It's right after Hebrews. Here comes my glass of water. It's good that we have working people. Thank you, brother. If I need a second one, I'll
raise your hand.
Thank you so much. Chapter 4, and we're going to start reading right at the end. Chapter 4, verse 13, and read it. Okay? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Boy, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? They're going to make some money. Verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Now remember this. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. Now that's important. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, now what's it there for? You got to go back and look at some of these previous verses, and we'll do that during the sermon perhaps. But therefore to him that knoweth that to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right. We're over here in the book of James, and it's a very important little book. And things it has to say. Everyone here, no doubt, plans have some kind. You're going to do something this afternoon. You're going to do something tonight. You're going to do something tomorrow and Tuesday and on it goes. It may be a lot. It may be a little. You may have appointments out there to go to or whatever it is. But maybe you have planned a doctor's visit. I've been doing that. And maybe some of you have. I've been this one and that one and that one and so forth. And they're finding out that you're doing well, but I'm not. So, well, that's all right. Maybe you have planned this doctor's visit. Maybe you've made plans already. You're working on Thanksgiving. That's good. If you don't have anybody to eat, well, I'll know, tell you who to get in here. Maybe you are planning a wedding. Maybe you're planning to go back to school. Maybe you're planning to have surgery. You're making some plans, I do believe. I don't believe you just sit around and nothing. You just don't even think. Chances are you have a calendar on your wall at home or a calendar on your phone or a calendar on your desk, whatever it is. You've got a calendar that makes things going. Joyce has a good calendar. Joyce has it all filed on her little desk. And she's so good at this. And by the way, if you want to know how the doctor said to me and what we're trying to do, you talk to her, not me. Because I don't know that stuff. I know this, and I'm working hard on it. And she works hard on that, but she can do this also. But anyway, you've got plans. We love to make plans, don't we? Don't you? You like to make a plan. Let's go. I say sometimes to Joyce, let's go tomorrow and get in the car and just go up and see the northern part or down in the southern part or just drive around town in places we've never been. Just get out of the house for a little bit. You say, well, today I'll do this and this and this, and tomorrow I'll do that and that and that. And before the week is over, I plan to get this done and get that done. And before the year is over, you'd like to do this, that, and so forth. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? You look around. We make plans. But now, notice this. Notice this. There is something about making and fulfilling our plans that give us a sense of organization and orderliness about our lives. You might even say it gives us a sense of pride to carry out our plans. We like to tell our neighbors sometimes. People are like that. There's a person I sometimes walk with when I'm trying to do my exercise, and that person can tell me more in 30 minutes than I can tell myself in 2 days. But she's got it all there. It's all in her mind. I did this, I did that, and I'm going, yeah, well, goodbye. And anyway, but you might even see that there's a sense of pride to carry this out. Self-sufficiency, or live an independent life. Now, let me ask you the big question. This is the important one. If you get nothing else down today out of the sermon, get this. Where does God fit into your plans? People are getting plans. We're going to buy a new car next year. People get in plans. We're going to get a new convertible, or we're going to get a new TV programs or shows, or we just go on and on and on. This I need, this I need. And I'm not knocking those things. There's a time for them. But where does God fill into our plans? Have we forgotten God? Do we get up in the morning and take off, and I've got to do this and this and this and that? But we don't mention the Lord. We don't say, God, now what do you want me to do? I try to make Him the first thing I think of when I wake up. I want to know my God. I want to say, God, thank you. Thank you for a good night. Thank you now for a new day. And thank you, Lord, for this and for this and this. It's not a great prayer that I preach for 30 or 40 minutes, but it's something that I want to make known to God when my foot is getting ready to hit the floor. Because I want to know, do you ever consider God's will for your life when you're making plans? It's not wrong to make plans. I want you to get that in your head. I'm not knocking plans. But God's will for your life in making plans, do you ever consider that? Would you be willing to change your plans if you knew those plans didn't align with the will of God? Now that's a big one, isn't it? Well, Maynard, this is important. This is important that I do this today. Yeah. But where is God in what is going along also at this time? In our scripture text, James is not telling us, don't make plans. And I'll tell you, don't make plans. It's just that way. But he is warning us about the three common mistakes that we make and commit to doing those things. Number one, planning our future without God. Now, let's go back to our Bibles And let's look in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. One of the newer translations in our translations of the Bible nowadays is one that starts this verse 13. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go and so forth and so on. I like that. I like that. Now listen. We've got to get people's attentions, don't we? We've got to get our children's attention. We've got to get our mates' attention. We've got to do things that are right. Notice that James begins with those two emphatic words. Now listen. Today we might say it this way. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say to you. Have you ever set your child down when they were young and said, I want you to sit down here a minute. I want you to listen to me. I want to talk to you and I want to tell you something. Maybe the child has been disobedient. Maybe the child has been in trouble. Maybe the child is having a problem. Whatever it is. And mom or dad or both of them sit down and say, now listen. The only other time this phrase is used in the Bible is just a few verses on down in James 5 verse 1. How a word with all who say, look here, these things is what he's saying. It's very an emphatic statement. It is meant to grab our attention. Today, we might say it this way. Listen carefully what I'm about to say to you. Brethren, any time I ever step in a full fit like this or the one at all the other places I have and I start preaching, I want you to be carefully to listen to what I have to say. Now you may say, Maynard, you're about the dullest preacher I've ever heard. Well, that's okay. I'm not mad at you. I probably am. But I want you to try to listen to whoever is preaching the Word of God. Sometimes we may have to say to a person, now, listen up. I want you to listen up, for I'm about to tell you something really important. And sometimes we don't do it fast enough. People say, okay, Dad, I've got it. And they don't got it. They're not there. They're just in a hurry. And he wants us to be waiting here. At the time James wrote this letter, the world was growing. The world was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So they tell me. You study it up if you want to, if you're interested in it. But I'll take that advice. It was moving very rapidly. Cities were cropping up everywhere. People were going and starting all of this. And they were getting things done. Business was booming. It was a time when a man could greatly profit economically if he was willing to travel. Now, what James describes here in verse 13 is a model of perfect planning. Look at man's plans very carefully here. The plan is constructed today or tomorrow. That's what they're going to do. They say, now, first of all, they sit down and they say, we're going somewhere tomorrow, today or tomorrow. The place is chosen. We will go to this or to that city. They've got some place they're headed to. The period is calculated. Spend a year here or there. We're going to stay a while. The purpose is considered. Carry out on business, and then profit is computed and make us money. Oh yeah, they're wanting that money. Everything about this man's plan was perfect except for one huge mistake. You know what it is? He left God out of the plans. God wasn't mentioned. God wasn't needed. Why do we have so few people in these pews? They're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to preach the gospel to win souls. But look at all of the hundreds out here. When I drive between where we live and here, you see all kinds of people moving here, there, and everywhere, and going, pulling their boats and going out for the day and this and that. You go out a little later and the stores will be open and crowds will be there. What's wrong? They made every human mistake, and we do that too sometimes. We're going to, the things that we have in mind are good and right, but we can't just say that's it. We've got to realize, hey, wait, we've got God to think about too. This guy didn't seek God's will in his place. He didn't ask for God's guidance. He didn't even mention God in his plans. Do you go a whole day without ever talking about God? Do you ever go a whole night or a day without saying something about God? There's nothing wrong with making plans. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, Jesus said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Okay. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Sometimes we say, let's go buy us a new car. Okay. What about the money? Oh, we'll work it out some way. We'll have fun. Jesus goes on to say in verse 31, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another one. Will he not first sit down and consider, you know, am I able to take this and win? I don't have as many men as he does. The point Jesus is making, is it not wrong to make plans? No. But as Christians, we must understand it is very wrong, sinfully wrong, to make plans without including God in those plans. I hope you're with me. Because it's important. You say, well, Maynard, I'm not big about plans and do this and do that. Well, you better. Do you know why we often make plans without including God? Well, one reason is because we don't want to feel guilty about doing something that might not be within God's will. You think about it, well, let's go here. I don't know if I want to go to that place. Well, it's all right. They've got a big crowd, good food and everything like that. But I don't know about it. I don't know if I want to go there. Or if I'm listening to a talk at work and on the lunch talk and the guys and ladies are talking, and sometimes the language they use, sometimes the words that come out of their mouth, I stand amazed at women today, the way they talk, and men. And you just stand and wonder, what's wrong here? Another reason is we often don't include God in our plans is because we are pursuing something that is sinful and we don't want God to know about it. Well, God's going to know about it. Where are these people living? And another reason is we don't include God in our plans is a matter of pride. I can handle this. I can do this. I know what's what. So, how many of you have learned that any plan you make that completely leaves God out of the picture is doomed? Now hear me. Doomed to failure. You got that? You don't want to hear it. You remember that book of Proverbs? And Proverbs 21:30 says, there is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Brethren, you're not going to get ahead of God. You're not going to outdo Him. Be careful. Okay, you got that? That's the first one. Now here's the second mistake we must guard against. Presuming to know the future when making our plans. Get back to your Bible. Pick up at verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Okay. But now ye rich in your boasting and all other things. You ought to say in verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Brethren, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow or what is your life? I don't mean to sound morbid. I don't mean to try to make you miserable. But I don't know. I don't have any assurance whatsoever that I'll be back by tomorrow. Or that I won't live long enough to see things that I would like to see. You are mist that appears for a little while and then whew, you're gone. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You see, let's just turn it around. They put the Lord last and all their other stuff first. Let's put this first and then we'll take care of that. If it be the Lord's will. Joyce, you and I sit down and we have to figure out how we're going to take care of this plan or that plan and where this is going to go and this money's going to hopefully come in. And so, put the Lord first. It'll all come together. And it is your boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Don't listen to that. In verse 14, James points out two reasons why it is absolutely foolish to presume to know the future. You ever see on television some of these people come on and they want to get your money, and they want you to tell them things, and then they'll explain all of your life and all. And those people just come away, wow, I never had thought of that before. Wow, that really is smart. I'm okay. But they're not listening to the Lord. One reason is because life events are so unpredictable. Have you ever planned a cookout or some outdoor event one day in the summertime, and you get it all ready, and the tables are fixed up, and the chairs and everything, and boom, here comes a rain cloud. And everybody goes running. Have you ever planned to leave on a trip or a vacation, and you had to cancel it because somebody got sick? One day, Joyce and I were going home, coming up through I don't remember now what it was, but it was heading toward Tennessee. And the car started making noise. And I had to turn around, get back to have the car fixed. You see, we have to realize that we don't, and I'm not saying be morbid over this, but why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? There's an old saying that life can turn on a dime. I don't even have a dime. But somebody can turn on a dime. What you need? You hear one phone call and that changes your life. You get the report from the doctor, as I have two times, you have cancer. The phone rings, and it's one of your dear ones. Has it been in an accident? Car wreck. One careless mistake of someone else. One heart attack. One stroke. One senseless crime. One bad business investment. On and on and on the list comes. That we have to be careful. Our whole life can get turned upside down in a heartbeat. And it's never the same. Another reason it's foolish to presume to know the future is because life end is uncertain. You remember that rich fool? Turn over there, if you will, in the book of Luke. Just hold the other spot. Come over here to Luke, chapter 12. You're familiar with this, but I think we need to hear it. We're running a little slow here, but Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 16. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, here it is. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto them, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? You ever think of that? We know Jesus is not just giving us a hypothetical thought here. It's important. It's something that we need to know. In verse 15, James gets right to the very heart of this matter of making plans. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do things that He approves of. From the time we started in life, both my father and my mother were good to us children. And we had a good family and a good life. It is the Lord's will that we will have our evening service, you say, tonight at 5:30. It's the Lord's will that we'll have our annual gospel meeting during the year. And on it goes. But, brethren, we must avoid making the mistake of planning our future without Almighty God. God is so important. God is so needful. The only way it seems like that people talk about God is something shameful. The way they curse His name. And the way they'll have nothing to do with it. Let's look at the last one real quick here. Planning to do tomorrow what should be done today. Verse 17. If anyone then knows the good that they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. Why is that? We all have habits and attitudes that we need to work on and do better. Tomorrow is always the big day. We're going to start out on that diet. And we're going to make ourselves look $1 million. Tomorrow is always the big day that we're going to start exercising. One member here knows that with me. Tomorrow is always the big day that we're going to start reading our Bible and spending time in reading and prayer. How many times have we said that? Tomorrow is always the big day that we're going to talk to that loved one, our friend, about Christ. Tomorrow is always that big day that we're going to call the doctor to set up that long overdue appointment. Do you suppose tomorrow was the big day for those people in Noah's day? Were they trying to say, hey, maybe this is real? Maybe we better listen. Do you suppose tomorrow was the big day that Samson was planning on dealing with his passion for the Philistine woman? And on the list could go. In the eyes of God, procrastination is a sin of pride. The sin of proudly of saying that, yeah, we are sure that tomorrow will be. I'm not so sure that there'll be a tomorrow. I read a story a while back about a small town in Utah. It was a place called Dead Man's Gulch. And many years ago, a Russian author, Nabokov, came to the place to visit. And he was interested in butterflies. And he'd come a long way to see these in this area. And as he was looking around, collecting these butterflies, he heard some groaning of a man in the gully that was formerly known as Bear Gulch. And when he got back to the house, his butterfly catching expedition, people were looking at him. And they heard the story, he said, about this. He heard this noise. He says, they said, didn't you go and see if it was there or come and tell us? And he said, no, I was out looking for butterflies. That was his plan. But the man died anyway because Nabokov wasn't interested in man. He was interested in butterflies. Sometimes we get wrapped up in our plans that we neglect the most important thing in life. I don't know if there are people here this morning that have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, have never put Him on in this baptistry, but I hope you'll do it today. Not being a full-time preacher here, I don't know all of your names. I don't know all of the lives that you have, but I'm grateful for you. And I see faces that I have not seen before. But it's so important that we need to commit to the Lord, whatever we do, and your plans will succeed. Are you here and you've never put on the Lord in baptism? He's interested in you. He's trying to. The brethren here will work with you and talk to you and help you to grow. Think about it. What is it that's so important in our lives? It's the Lord. We need to remember Him. And then these other things will come along. As we stand to sing this